हम खुश नसीब कितने, प्रभु का मिला सहारा हम हो गए उसी के, हम हो गए उसी के।
ओम शांति, गुड मॉर्निंग। So, interesting topic this morning, eh? Worthy, being worthy. Actually, being worthy, I think, is a problem everybody has, isn't it? How to be worthy, what does it mean to be worthy? How does Baba see us in terms of being worthy? And surely by the end of the cycle, we have lost our sense of being worthy. Why so worthy? So by the end of the cycle, all souls have lost their ability to feel worthy. I mean, externally there's the pomp and show of being worthy, but the actually feeling worthy, because, you know, when I feel worthy, then I have the confidence to have dharana. When I feel worthy, I have the self-respect to face whatever situation needs to be faced. But how is it that Baba makes me worthy now? How does Baba make the soul worthy now? Because confluence is the time to become fully valuable. And Baba is giving me all opportunity for this. He's giving me especially his cooperation. And since we understand that Baba is God, then it's not a little thing, the cooperation that he is giving me. It's a huge, unlimited power that is given to the soul so that it can rise to its highest state. Because being worthy is this, is to fulfill my original destiny and to reach my highest state. And from that comes a very, very deep contentment. Such a deep contentment that no wrong desires can pull me out of that position. No habit of comparing can rob me of that contentment, because, yes, I know what I am. I know what Baba and Rama are calling me to do and to be. But I was thinking that to be worthy, first of all, of the Father's love. This is the speciality of Baba's children at the confluence. To be worthy of the Father's love means that Baba is able to create me and recreate me, sustain me and transform me. The Trimurti processes happen when the soul becomes worthy to receive the Father's love. Baba's love creates me in the sense that I'm given really a new birth, a new awareness of who I belong to. And that belonging is for eternity. And there's never then the sense or the feeling of loneliness or isolation. And it is this initial love that in which Baba makes me worthy, because it is actually his love that makes me worthy, this eternal love. And it is through that then that I will initially begin to start to have that position of self-respect. And birth is not enough, is it? Actually, sustenance after is needed. I am sustained through Baba's love, and Baba, through his love, gives me his knowledge, his companionship, and to share his task. This is how the soul is sustained. And even if the soul is not quite worthy, because no one is completely worthy, by actually being involved in Baba's task, by experiencing his companionship, then that worthiness comes very, very naturally. And then the Father's love always also makes me worthy of being transformed. Because it is not only knowledge and understanding that will transform the soul, it is some help. We need some help for that. I might have the best intentions, I might really believe in my aim, but it is Baba's daily love that enables the soul to transform everything. And the speciality of God's love is that it's daily. You know, human love is weekly or monthly, or maybe even yearly, or maybe it's even really gone. But Baba's love is daily. I have to keep aware of that. Am I aware that God is giving me His love, that Brahma Baba is giving me His love on a daily basis? The appointments for meditation are the times when I am not only sustained, but I'm kept awake by that love. And simply to keep awake will enable transformation to take place, because the reason sometimes why we may not transform is that I slowly, slowly sleep. And in, what happens when you sleep? You don't do anything wrong. You're just not there. It's the same way when we lose awareness. We may not do anything particularly wrong, but we're not there. And so that's the first thing. The Father's love does all those things for the soul, and in that way makes the soul worthy. Also, it is the Father's love that enables the soul to be worthy of service. We become serviceable. And what does that mean? It means a completely new account of karma. Completely new account of karma. That happens in such a way that now my actions are no longer selfish. My actions are no longer influenced by the vices. And so the account, the usual account of giving sorrow and taking sorrow starts to diminish. And in what way does Baba encourage me to be serviceable? He says, you are an angel. He says, you are an ancestor. What's the difference? When I think of an angel, I think something up there. When it's an ancestor, something down here. The ancestor, so the foundation of the cycle, the pure foundation, the roots, the one who gives his or her behavior that becomes a system for many, many other souls to follow and to take inspiration from. An ancestor soul. Baba, you know, the very last muli that Baba spoke was all about ancestors. And that ancestor soul has always that awareness that others are looking, others are following. So I need to be on my best behavior. And that's good for me too, eh? Otherwise, you know, if I just am doing it for myself, maybe I wouldn't care so much. But if I realize that others are watching and others are following and others can take benefit by my every word or action, then I pay attention. And then the angel. Yeah, the angel comes at the close of the cycle, because it's time to take all the brothers and sisters all back home with the Father. The angel is the one who gives God's message, and through that message, souls are able to create their sanskaras of peace, of happiness, of whatever they wish. But the angels help the Father to take all souls back home. And the quality of the angel is flight. The angel is light. It comes, it appears, and it disappears. And it is through the revelation of the angel's light, which is in fact the Father's light, that then service is done. Very quick service, actually. Very deep service. It's a very so deep that it lasts for all the cycle. It lasts for eternity. Baba, and the third thing, Baba is also making us worthy of the golden aged kingdom. What is the golden aged kingdom? It's family. It's the family life. A culture of complete non-violence, where relationships are so there is no possessiveness or dependence at all. And Baba teaches me to become worthy to be in that family life, whether that family is a small unit or whether it's the whole civilization at that time. Now, sometimes we forget this. Sometimes, you know, we think about golden age. We're sometimes very much caught up in the dharana of today, which is good, of course, to concentrate on the dharana of today. But also, it's good to see what Baba is creating for us. What actually the golden aged culture is. That it is really a culture of the highest human fulfillment. We can't be happier with other human beings. There's no effort to be patient, to be flexible, to be tolerant, to be sweet. No dharana of that kind. So Baba is making me worthy for that by showing me how to be like that now. And what has caused all this, what has caused all these difficulties in feeling worthy? Because usually if you ask many souls, that's usually the problem they have, is they don't have very much self-respect or they don't feel worthy enough. And then that takes the form of being, you know, very egoistic or very aggressive or feeling very inferior. It shows itself in different ways. Very defensive, feeling threatened very easily, being very attached to role or position, having to prove the self. When I lose my worthiness, this is the things that I start to do. And so when I lose my worthiness, it is this, you know, I've lost my soul consciousness. Got lost up in the wrong identity. Name, fame and form. That is, in either bodily identity or social identity. And so Baba comes in and teaches me what is spiritual identity, because it is through the spiritual identity and the realization of the spiritual identity that I start to become worthy. That is, what happens when I start to become worthy? I start to feel happy. I start to feel content. I start to see others with a very positive vision. That happens when I become worthy, feel worthy, really deep down inside. Name and fame and form, yes. Fame doesn't necessarily mean the fame of being someone famous, but praises, attachment to talents, to specialities, and they become so very important that then it's very difficult for me to accept somebody else's talent or speciality and start to feel threatened by that. And then the form. Well, Baba's told us enough about bodily form, but also the social form is also another big trap. Because in the social form, I'm very much dependent and influenced on others' opinions. And that happens even within the Brahmin life as well. I haven't really become a karma yogi, because when I really become a karma yogi, I'm not dependent on opinion. When I become a karma yogi, I do something because it's the right thing to do. Yeah? It's the spiritual thing to do. It's the appropriate thing to do. And so whether someone praises or someone doesn't praise, it simply doesn't matter. But through many lives, there's been this very strong conditioning on depending on others for self-image. And it's very deeply embedded in the sanskaras. This is why we get upset if someone says something, or if someone doesn't appreciate us in the way we felt we should be appreciated. And when I start to see those reactions, that's a signal for me. I'm still identifying with some social self or body conscious self, and it's better if this changes, because then I can experience my full worth as a soul, as a spiritual being. And this is Baba's effort every day, isn't it? Every day, remember me, remember you're a soul. Remember me, you remember you're a soul. He's trying to inject the experience of self-worth in the soul by helping the soul to remember what it is, who it is. Because habit makes us forget. We think we don't forget, but we do forget. If I get upset, if I get negative, it means I've forgotten something, doesn't it? So how to practically really reach this stage of self-worth? How can I do it? Now, Daddy Kumarka was saying, and Daddy Janki has said it also, that when we come to Madhuban, all old sanskars should be left here behind. And I remember also, I had this aim this time. We always have aims when we come to Madhuban, and sometimes they're the same, sometimes they're different, but I was thinking this myself, that to really leave behind the things that interfere in creating a spiritual personality. To really not want those things anymore. And I think it's when we have such an aim, then Baba hears it and really cooperates and helps us to leave those sanskaras behind. But besides the aim and besides the realization, how do I begin to create this permanent feeling of self-worth? Because we do get it, don't we, from time to time. But to create it on a more permanent level, on a more stable level, what do I need to do? I'm sure you've heard this before. But the first thing really to do is to create a sanskara of genuine introspection. To be comfortable, to be happy, to be willing to travel inside as much as possible. And in that way, when I travel deep inside, as much as possible, that's when I'll see that shining self. That jewel that Baba sees. And that, you know, the daddies also see this too. And this is why they and Baba keep encouraging and keep having very high hopes and pure vision. They don't do it just for the sake of doing it. Because it's very, very clear to them that each of Baba's children has that shining self there. But on the path of knowledge, no matter how many blessings and inspirations I may get from others, ultimately it is my own independent effort that's going to make things work. So I have to become introspective. Baba cannot become introspective for me. He can guide me, he can do many, many things, which he does, but I simply have to have that practice of going inside. And as I go inside, then I go beyond my own cleverness. That is my own way of thinking about things. It's a very big effort, this, because one of the biggest wastes, and our mind and intellect are overcrowded with judgments and opinions. We easily come to an opinion. We easily jump to conclusions about whether it's people or situations or whoever. And these have really crowded our intellect a lot, so that I'm not able to see things simply. They've really crowded my mind, so I tend to overthink and get a bit confused. But if I just sit still and really be very quiet and just teach myself the first lesson, Om Shanti and Baba, then that begins that journey that takes me very deep inside, and I will see, yes, there's no need to think this. There's no need to feel this. And there's no need even to say this, 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 and this. Why waste my time? Why waste the time of others? So that's the type of introspection that will help me to connect in order to get the power of soul consciousness, of spiritual consciousness. And that is what makes us so naturally worthy of coming close to the Father and coming close to the rest of the souls of the world. Because, you know, in service, true service is this, we become close to the rest of the souls of the world, no matter what branch they may be on. And we enjoy introspection if we do it properly. We really enjoy it because it's a very positive connection with what's best in the self, with what is original in the self. And you work from there, we work from that point. We don't work from what we have to change, but we work from the point of what we are, eternally and originally. And it makes a very big difference, huh? Otherwise, it's very easy to get tired, hopeless, start to labor. And it's so easy also to forget that, to forget who I am. That's the point from which God sees me, and that's why He gives me blessings. But I have to keep in my vision Baba's vision for me. That's how I can become worthy. And I think another way that helps us to feel worthy, because sometimes I think we know we are worthy, huh? We know it, we hear it enough, but actually to start to feel it and experience it is where we get that power. It's one thing that helps, another thing that helps us a lot is accept. Accept the ups and downs of this process of purification and liberation, whatever we like to call it. Liberation, purification, transformation. Let me just be easy about it, because definitely, you know, there will be ups and downs. And if I get too stuck on the ups, I get very disappointed when there's going to be a down, because there'll always be both. So what is it I have to do? Again, I simply become the observer of these ups and downs and just remember, remember what I have been told and what I am being told daily, what I'm being told every day from Baba's Muli. It is that music of the Muli that will always keep the soul enthusiastic and optimistic. It doesn't matter. When there's a down, okay, I'll go through it. When there's an up, that's great. I've been able to imbibe something properly, and so it has allowed the soul to go forward. And sometimes it's when we don't accept things as they are that then we can get a little bit negative or even depressed, because we feel hopeless that, oh, this thing keeps repeating again and again and again. It's purification time. Maya is not going to say goodbye so easily and so quickly. She wants her rights, and she's had them for many centuries, so she's not going to give them up just like that. Just because I say I'm going to follow God now, I'm going to be pure now, Maya's not going to sit back and say, okay, that's very good, you can get on with it. Actually, sometimes Maya brings in more attractions and more attachments and more things, but I've just got to watch them. And this is a big thing that helps us to accept, is watch. Learn to watch. Learn to observe. The more I can become the observer, the less I control, the more I will be able to control my reactions. If I'm not an observer, I don't realize sometimes how I'm even reacting to certain things. And then they start to control me. And of course it's very important that in that acceptance I don't become complacent. You know what complacent means? Okay. That's the way it is, Maya's gum. Not to give in to it. Alert. In Baba's last Muli he spoke of this a lot. He said, be just alert. And Daddy Janki in the morning class this morning said, have attention on every second. Have we ever tried this exercise? Sometimes I've experimented with it, but it doesn't last more than about half an hour. But I was thinking, to be so alert every moment and every thought. It's like you build up really another sanskar to be watching your mind and intellect. But as you keep doing it, actually it starts to happen. And starts to economize a lot on mental energy, emotional energy. And when I economize on those things, then that's when I start to build up that strength inside that makes the soul powerful. And then another thing that helps us a lot is willingness. It helps me a lot to become worthy. Am I willing? Am I willing to learn? What does it mean to be willing to learn? To understand that all people, all situations, all things are an opportunity. And that it is drama that is giving those opportunities, and that it is Baba that will help me to bring out the best in those opportunities. Because if I'm not willing to change, then of course it means automatically I'm not willing to learn. And one thing that keeps us back from becoming worthy, one thing that really cancels that true effort for becoming worthy, is projecting. When I start to project, and I start to think that this person or this situation is to blame. When I start to think of past things, when I find that some personalities are unmatchable, I cannot match with this personality, then you'll start, little projections begin as soon as I start to have these feelings of not matching with somebody that happens to be there on the service field. I'm a student. Baba is the benevolent teacher. Drama is the straight teacher. What does that mean? It means that, you know, drama, like it or not, here it is. This is the lesson. Baba will sweeten it and soften it. But drama presents it as it is. And it's a matter of maturity. And also it's a matter of it's honesty also. And again, if I'm very honest, I'll return to my roots and I'll see my original destiny and I will see all these things as opportunities. When I'm aware of my original destiny, then really everything's fine. Everything has to be like this. Why does it have to be like this? Because it's in front of me. I can't run, I can't dislike. I have to work through it. Or, if I have a very good stage, go above it and go beyond it. And another thing is willingness to let go. Sometimes Baba uses the word renounce or sacrifice. But can I let go? And there are many things that I need to let go of. Bad experiences with other Brahmins, mistakes I have made, attachments or attractions to certain things. How to let go? One very simple way is just to remember what's most valuable. I sit with myself and I ask myself, can't I let go of this? Why do I hold on to this? Isn't there something more valuable? And what's the most valuable thing? The most valuable thing is Baba's love and the destiny of this life. These are the two most valuable things. And actually it is Baba's love that will help me to fulfill the destiny of this life. And for all Brahmins, the destiny of their life is, one of them anyway, is service, unlimited service of the unlimited tree. And it's our happiness when, as instruments, we create the happiness and peace in others. That also makes us feel worthy. So in order to let go, just remember. So willingness, it's willingness on many different levels, but these two are the main ones, to let go and to and to learn sometimes those lessons that seem impossible to learn. But sometimes it is through the impossible things that drama enables the soul to be truly purified, to be truly liberated. And how else to become worthy? We can go into the depth of this quite a bit. Exploring. Exploring our sanskaras. That is going to the depth of the sanskaras. Because these are three things that have to change in the soul. The sanskaras, the mind and the intellect. The mind needs exercise, the intellect needs refining. Again and again and again. It never stops. And as I explore my sanskaras, sometimes I will see wonderful things that I never dreamt were there, like any explorer. And also I see very surprising negative things that I never thought were there also. But again, it doesn't matter because I know my aim. What is my aim? When I'm exploring, where I'm going to the depth of my sanskaras, what is my aim? My aim is pure feelings. The sanskara of love means the pure feeling of love. The sanskara of happiness, the pure feeling of happiness. The sanskara of peace, the pure feeling of peace. Not mixtures, not sometimes happy, sometimes not, sometimes loving, sometimes not. Things that become emotional rather than pure. So with that aim, then I'm able to travel into those. And sometimes exploration is needed of those things that are blocking the experience of those pure feelings. And not in great detail, but at least one has to understand some of the personal mechanisms that have been created over time that may not allow that pure feeling to come through. And it's not that one has to analyze and understand it in detail. One can get the realization, and without having to go into too much detail, offer it to Baba, offer it to the purifier. Offer it to the purifier. Sometimes Brahmins offer it to the psychologist. I don't know if it works or not. But certainly, if I'm offering those sanskaras that I don't want to be me anymore, Baba is fully cooperative. Sometimes we forget how cooperative God is. And something I should never forget or underestimate. And don't think he gets tired of it. He lives for this. He incarnated for this. He's very glad to do it. And then exercising the mind to become incorporeal. What does that mean? Exercising the mind to become incorporeal, bringing my thoughts all together into one point of concentration. It's a very, very useful and necessary exercise. Baba calls this the drill. What actually do you do? I was thinking of that myself sometimes. Baba says, make this drill. Do this drill of just becoming incorporeal. It's like all your thoughts gathered here in one point. Yes, and it is this. I'm a soul. I am peace. I'm a soul. And when there is this practice, then I will easily become detached and released from many, many wasteful thoughts. And in that process of becoming detached, becoming light. And as when the mind is light, then it's easier for Baba to fill the soul, to cooperate with the soul. Because this exercise is very useful if I see that my mind sometimes is being bombarded by so many thoughts and feelings that, you know, you think, where do I turn? How can I possibly have connection in this state of mind? And then again, I just talk to myself, just step in, step back, and just have that one thought, I'm a peaceful soul. And I mean it, and I believe it. And then it does work. I'm just released from this expansion of burdening thoughts, this expansion of thoughts that are not at all going to help me. I must stop them. Of course, sometimes it's like a wild horse, you can't bring them in. But it's a matter of faith I simply have that thought to become incorporeal at that time with a lot of faith, whether it's through the thought of Baba, whether the thought of Om Shanti, it will work. And then my mind becomes worthy. See, the incorporeal mind becomes worthy to be guided by God, to be able to catch His touchings, and to be at peace. And of course, this is not a matter of class. It's not even a matter of workshop. This is very much a personal practice. And this also will differentiate which souls actually start to get the strength to be able to transform themselves, face situations, those who have a stock. And a stock means that energy has been conserved. And one way I can conserve this energy is just simply by not allowing my mind to go off into long journeys, then I have to make an effort to pull it back again. And the intellect, yes. To make the intellect worthy of really understanding Baba's truth. And the method for this is refining the intellect. The intellect is refined through love for Baba's knowledge and the dharana that comes from that knowledge. When things are refined, they always are lighter, they work much quicker, and they're very easy, you know, very easy to handle. So refining the intellect, what is that? How do we actually do that? Is really what we hear this word churning a lot. Churning is very much the depth to which the soul churns is very much connected to the depth of its dharana. If there's a real desire to change and spiritualize the personality to become worthy to be Baba's instrument, then the dharana will be accordingly. I wish to change to be worthy, not that I have to change or I am obliged in any way. Where there's love, there's no obligation. You're choosing all the time something better for yourself. And this refining of intellect, again, is very necessary, again, on a daily basis, because it's so easy to get stuck in a vision, so easy to get stuck in an opinion, so easy to get stuck in a particular understanding, either about myself or about others. And to be able to free myself from that, I need to always change the perspective of how I'm understanding things, how I'm seeing things. So when I listen to Baba's Muli or listening to Daddy's class, really very, very open, very open. And it is humility that creates that openness. It is self-respect that creates that openness. It is also courage and faith that creates that openness, so that I'm able to understand things better about myself. And it all lies in this. Soul consciousness is not simply I'm a point of light, but what is that unique personality that Baba and Rama see? What is that uniqueness that has to come out spiritually so that many, 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 many souls receive benefit? Because one of the worst things is to get stuck. And when I get stuck, I become stagnant. You know, stagnant water starts to smell after a while. So to unblock it, the daily silence, that love connection, and also the way I'm listening to the knowledge that Baba is giving me every morning. It makes a very big difference. It may sound like a very little step, but that little step makes a big difference. And by the end of a certain period of time, it also has become a sanskar. To be able to open, to be able to have a wide vision. But the wider my vision will depend very much on the deeper my foundation is. The deeper the foundation, the more that there's stability in my own concentration, in my own self-respect, then I can become much, much, much wider. I find it very difficult to open if I'm not sure of myself. I find it very difficult to absorb or assimilate a new understanding if I'm not very sure of myself. I will become quite rigid and I'll start to work to formulas rather than to inspirations. And when the intellect is really open like that, yes, there's the willingness to listen. What am I listening to? I'm listening to many things, but listening also to the merciful directions of the Father, which is called Srimat. Srimat is an act of great mercy from God because he wants to see his children happy again, pure again, peaceful again. And then it's my own self-mercy that will enable me to follow those merciful directions. So the more open my intellect is, truly open, then there's more this willingness, not just to listen, but also to follow, to put into practice. And this makes the soul worthy of not just of God's love, but also it makes the soul worthy of the family's love. It makes the soul worthy of the world's love. Because a worthy soul, especially above everything else, it is trusted. And there's not selfishness in it, you know. Usually the reason why we block up or don't open or there's fear in communication is there has been misuse of our feelings. We have done it, others have done it, and the basic reason for that is selfishness. There's been some influence of one of the vices, and as I want to be free of that, you know, others also want to be free of that. And again, the more I connect with Baba, the more I will understand the meaning of being an altruistic server, that things are not done in my name anymore. Everything is done in the Father's name. So, I think if anyone has any questions they'd like to ask on anything that was said, if you ask questions, you may have to speak a little bit loudly. Any question? The question was that I've sometimes felt because I felt unworthy because not having good Amrit Vela. I don't think there's anybody who always has good Amrit Vela. Well, whether it's Amrit Vela, whatever it is, I think we have to be a bit realistic about the effort we are making. And the main thing is to keep going. Baba has used the phrases go beyond victory and defeat, go beyond praise and defamation. And whether it's whatever sanskar it is that inhibits the soul, whether it's a sanskar of sleep, whether it's a sanskar of ego, it's something that has to be worked on. It's not just going to go away. And I think very much to how deep is my faith in Baba's love for me? How deep is my faith that drama is there working for me? And how deep is my faith in myself as an original soul, as an original pure soul? It's very, very important that at difficult times, especially at times of mistakes or failures or whatever, I keep that faith. And the way to keep that faith is, first of all, to appreciate the fact that I, a soul, really have recognized God as He is, what He is. Because it's a big thing to be able to recognize Him at this time. And then secondly, there have been improvements, definitely, in behavior and character, and to esteem that. We easily lose esteem. It takes a long time to build it up, but often very easy to lose it. So I've just got to keep myself faithful. A faithful intellect is victorious. So esteem the changes that I have made, and also I am very willing and wanting to be working with God for His work of helping my brother souls. So this is all very clear, and this is what I wish for. So just one has to keep faith, because the intellect is being polished, the sanskars are being polished, the mind is being polished, and some bits of rust are deep. You know, everybody who ever has reached that high stage, when you hear Daddy's experiences of her own self, you know, she just, very deep faith. Very deep faith. And the way that also Baba gives encouragement to others and helps them achieve their high state was through having faith in them. So it's a great power, this power of faith. Yes. Try to sum it up, that for some souls it seems very easy to have love for Baba, to speak and express that love for Baba, whereas for himself he finds it sometimes difficult, a little bit dry in the communication, and it's not natural, not in a natural way to give back. Well, every soul has their own part, and definitely the fact that I am in Baba's family, I am Brahman, means I do have a part with God. And some people by their nature are not so expressive. It doesn't mean they don't have the same type of connection. Some people are more expressive, some people are less expressive. Some people have other characteristics that create their quality as well. And if I want the love to flow naturally, one way to help this, that helps this a lot, is realization and understanding. We all have to work on relationships, even with human beings, don't we? We have to understand the other, we have to understand ourselves. For example, a person doesn't feel so close to me. Why? Is it just that we don't match, or is it something much deeper? You know, maybe I need to change something in my own self, whatever it may be. And as I start to understand that and realize that, then I'm able to come closer. And coming close to Baba doesn't mean that, you know, every moment you feel intoxicated, you know. Sometimes just the fact and just that thought that He is there, it's enough. It's enough. It's plenty. You don't have to keep saying the word love all the time. It's just this quiet inner serenity, and this, even if it's not a feeling, at least it's a faith or a thought, I am with that one. It doesn't have to be said, it doesn't always have to be felt at every moment. Anyway, different souls will have different experiences, but one way I can make it more natural is this: let me understand how I can come closer. Let me realize certain things. What am I prioritizing? This is sometimes something we don't realize very often. We don't realize we're prioritizing. We're giving, for example, more attention to problems rather than just to being silent. We're giving more attention to thinking a lot about something rather than just to slow down our thought and just concentrate Baba and Om Shanti and a few others from time to time. Not that we stop thinking, but let me see, what am I giving more of my energy to. Because usually it's that. I think if I'm giving energy properly to Baba, I will experience that. That's the reason that there's not, we don't give enough time to churning, we don't give enough time to real silence. And as you get on in years in Gyan, sometimes this can be a danger, sometimes. Because, oh yeah, I understand that. Oh yeah, I had my meditation. But actually it's just been something routine. So to keep the newness and the freshness, that's why I have to keep refining intellect. You know, I have to really put myself in a position and repositioning myself to understand it from other ways. I have to wish that. Then there's freshness. And also, whatever I wish for, I will receive it. If I wish for it deeply enough. Yes. In essence, the question was, what about for the young Brahmins? They don't seem to have as long a time as the old Brahmins. So is there really enough time to become Karmateet? Yes, of course. I am worthy for this. We forget it is God. You know, God is not measuring time. Baba's not measuring time. Baba's not measuring anything. You know, if I have the ability to keep my heart sincere and to keep properly the disciplines that Baba is giving me, then he's going to give me that power. It's not a matter that can take a long time. I mean, old Brahmins, sometimes they've misused their time. Sometimes they have. And doesn't mean that because one is much older in Gyan that therefore one has a better chance. It depends how they have used their time also. And let me have such faith in Baba's generosity that I never doubt that if I really want to, I can move. One thing that is very useful that will help me to experience Baba's generosity and that it doesn't take a long time is just be very, very humble. Very humble. Humility helps a lot the soul to go quickly. Humility helps a lot, and the second thing that helps a lot is patience. I shouldn't try to achieve what others have achieved. You know, my own achievements are unique. Baba will use me as an instrument for his task. And each one will achieve in a way that is unique. You know, you can't achieve the same as somebody else. And Baba is guiding the soul to that. Just let me be very, very, very humble. And and how many years you are in Gyan, you always have to keep that virtue with you very closely. 1 year, 2 years, 20 years, 30 years, that virtue of humility has to always be kept. Yes. The question was that when we mentioned letting go, that it was said that that sometimes the impossible things are the things that purify us the most, or liberate us the most. For example, there's a situation or a particular person, you think it's impossible to ever be able to do something, or be able to get on with this one, or whatever it is. If I let go of that thought, that this situation is impossible, then what starts to happen is capacities and virtues which are deep within inside me start to appear in front and things start to be possible. In that sense that the soul starts to see it itself and use its unlimited resources. Because as soon as I start to say it's difficult or I start to say it's impossible, then capacity also has closed down. And then it could be that that capacity is closed because I still have, you know, some ego, some dislikes, and if I don't let go of them, they just remain stuck there all the time. And that becomes a karmic account in time, because I'm going to have karmic accounts with people I don't like, or I have a karmic account in the sense I won't ever have the courage to face a very difficult situation because I think I can't. So, in this way, let go of this, that something is impossible or too difficult. Like, it's possible to fly, isn't it? Isn't it possible to fly? And Baba often says, don't Don't say try, just fly. This is, don't think about it, just do it. Yes? When we think too much about something, we start hesitating. Okay, we mustn't do things wildly or recklessly. We need some thought, for sure. But in this thinking on the basis of fear, if my thoughts are on the basis of fear or ego, then that does block things. And sometimes you've thought about things enough, it's cleared enough, but still I don't move. Then I have to speak to myself. Okay, I've thought about it enough, it's clear, just do it. Is there a relationship between fear and ego? I mean, there must be. Usually I find a person who's very much has based their life and personality on ego and being aggressive and tough and pushing their way through things has a lot of fear. You know, there's the fear of things being taken away, the fear that they won't be as prominent as they should be. Fear always demonstrates itself in different ways, through being very aggressive and tough and defensive. It's a sign of fear. Also, the more obvious way of fearfulness, shy and stepping back too much and that type of thing too. But you wouldn't often, the people that are very aggressive and hard, you don't often think of them as fearful people. But they are. Many defences. And they probably would not see themselves as fearful. There's a difference between being reckless and being courageous. A person who's courageous has maturity and is balanced, has had some thought about things. A person who's reckless is motivated often by their own ambition and usually don't care what happens to others. They just go for it. So this is all, you know, we are not worthy. You see, all these things do not make us feel worthy. And Baba uses this phrase, doesn't he? Worthy to be worshipped. Worthy to be worshipped is on the basis of purity. To be praised is on the basis of good works, benevolent works. But worthy of worship, yes, benevolent works there are, benevolent actions there are, but also very deep purity that doesn't give sorrow to others. So a praiseworthy person may have done good things but has given sorrow to others in the process of achieving their aim. That's a lot in the Copper Age and Iron Age. Whereas a worthy worship soul like, you know, well, Baba, of course, you get some Buddha soul, Christ soul, they achieve their aim without violence. So the same way, to feel worthy and to be worthy, I must renounce all forms of violence. And this is the whole basis also of the golden culture, that violence that comes from the vices. Because also the use of violence, whether it's through ego or attachment or lust or whatever, it does certainly create fearfulness. Attachment, for example, creates a lot of fearfulness. Attachment creates a fearfulness of being betrayed. A lot of people have that. Jealousy is a type of fearfulness too. Somebody's going to get on better than I am. So, to be worthy is what Baba is trying to make us. And so purity is the basis of that. The sanskara, hesitation. The question was, where does the sanskara of hesitation come in? For good things. Yes. Yeah. Hesitation, again, always very much linked with fear. And they say in English, as a saying, he who hesitates is lost. Because a person who hesitates never accomplishes something. And the reason for that hesitation, nearly always, it's a lack of self-confidence. Lack of self-confidence, and that means I have not thought deeply enough about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. If I've really thought deeply enough of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, when I'm very sure of my motives, then I will not hesitate to do it. I will put it into practice. Also, sometimes we hesitate because we're waiting for approval from others. And when they don't give their approval, I stop. It's very important to see the consequences of this action on others, definitely. It's not that I just don't hesitate and I just do it. But it's one thing to be careful and conscious of the effects on others. It's another thing to have fear and be doubtful. So when we are looking too much for approval, then we don't get on with what we have to do. Also, of course, if I'm very headstrong and just do it because, you know, Babu inspired me, but nobody else thinks I've been inspired except myself, then, you know, it happens also. You know, some souls don't hesitate at all. They're just like a bull, you know, just go for it. It's also very, very damaging. Anyone else? Anything else? Yes? Is self-respect included in feeling worthy? Yeah, definitely. You know, the sense of worth is very much related to what extent I respect myself. And again, respecting the self has to do with knowing myself. To the extent I know myself clearly, to that extent I start to respect myself, and to that extent also I start to see my worth as a soul. And then my relationship with Baba also creates a feeling of worth and self-respect. Because through the relationship with Baba, I see how I can contribute also. Because for a human soul, a very basic inner instinct is to share and to contribute. This is why we all have to be doing something. This is why sometimes there's an obsession with roles. What's my role? What's the position? As Baba's children, we know the position has to be internal, and we know that our role is simply to be pure and serve according to the time and need. But it is how this relationship with Baba also will, how I see it, will create also the level of feeling worthy. Because also feeling worthy, yes, it has to do with self-respect, but why is it that we lose self-respect is that we give in to the vices, even on a very subtle level. Maybe it doesn't fully register on a conscious level, but you know, if I'm breaking some spiritual law over and over and over again without putting attention to fixing it, this gradually makes me lose my self-respect. Because what happens is carelessness. It's not the thought to really break it, but carelessness. Oh, you know, this is the thing. Oh, this is too strict. Oh, this is not really necessary. So I've noticed people become very careless and loose in little things like eating habits, you know, familiarity. They become very careless in this. And then it's very difficult for me to start to feel that genuine, deep self-respect. And the reason why we've lost self-respect, yes, it's the accumulation of, you know, karma inside us. And so that sometimes blocks. Not that we know what we have done, and it's not necessary to know. Baba says, I clear it all. I mean, Baba says he's clearing it. His direction for our vision is to have full self-respect. But then he gives us a Srimat to keep that self-respect permanent. Because if I break it, I mean, it's very difficult to have self-respect, even in little ways. It's a matter of, yes, really much of willingness, because sometimes I unconsciously do it. I don't do it on purpose. But then if the soul has, you know, realization and keeps, you know, wakes up, then Baba helps the soul to fix it. Anyone else? Not to take sorrow. Question was, but the day this morning says not to take sorrow. So what do you do in order to protect yourself from this? One way not to take sorrow is make sure you're not giving it. Because if you're giving sorrow, then, you know, it's just a, you know, it's a karmic return that just keeps coming back. So first of all, have I stopped giving sorrow? Whether it's through my words, through my feelings, through my vision. Yeah? That's what the first thing. Secondly, it is just some people have that habit to give sorrow. But then, I mean, it comes back to my own self-esteem and my image of my own self. If I allow the ideas or the words of others to penetrate deep inside me, you know, it's my mistake. I have allowed that person's vision and thought to penetrate me. And I'll do it with many other people, because all people give sorrow unintentionally or intentionally. You know, criticism can give you sorrow depending on how you are, what type of soul you are. One thing that also will help the soul not to take sorrow is to be less sensitive. Don't take everything always too personally. You know, if we take things personally, we always take them deeply. And so part of myself has to say, no, I just don't accept this. Whether what the person is saying is true or not, you know, because sometimes what they're saying might have some truth in it. So I should have, again, listen, but don't take it in. Because also it's not good just to block off. It's like, I'm not listening to any criticism. I'm not listening to anything anybody tells me. I'm okay with myself. No, this is also not healthy. I need to be able to listen without taking it inside. And to do that, I have to keep the consciousness. I'm a student. I'm learning. Okay, I make mistakes. Well, this is my character, but it's not my real character. I know my real character. And this is where it lies. Do I know my real character? If I know my real character, if I know my real original self, then I know that, okay, I may have these characteristics, but it's not my real me. So if someone points it out to me, I say thank you to this teacher, because they're pointing out something that helps me to realize what maybe I don't realize. But not to let it penetrate me so much that it tears the soul apart. And I simply have to find that balance of listening and not listening. Okay, anything else? Okay, we'll finish. Oh, yes, one more. In essence, the question was, how do we give proof of love to others? Because sometimes we can't speak. Yes. Really, everything has to do with my own feelings and vibration. It's not a matter of trying to convince somebody that I love them and respect them. Actually, if you have to use words for that, it means it may not be there, because I'm trying to convince them. You know, I really do have respect for you. I really do. So let me look at my, you know, really, what are my feelings deep inside? And if those feelings are good and clean, that will vibrate to the person and it create that atmosphere. I don't have to try so hard. But usually what the reality is that I may have relatively good feelings, but there is something in there. Some mixture has come in, even if it's only a little bit. Something they said yesterday, something they did a week ago. And that is influencing also my vibration. So first of all, to let that be clear, what my feelings are. Eh? And secondly is my behavior too. Like, do something nice for them genuinely. I don't have to say anything, but I can do a few things. And again, my own connection with Baba will create that vibration, that will create that atmosphere of love. And even if I can't do it, even if I can't love a particular soul, it may be difficult to do it, at least with Baba's connection I can give them peace and there can be good feelings. And just to do it very lightly, because sometimes, because we feel guilty, we try too hard. You know, I feel, I'm not really loving, I dislike, you know. And then sometimes we try too hard. Just, you know, to take it easy and have that thought, just let me have good feelings for that soul. Let me not go into any details, just good feelings. Keep it on that level of a good feeling, a peaceful feeling. And then let drama work. I find what helps a lot in being worthy, whether it's of human relationships or Baba's relationship, is give value to drama, give value to time. If my feelings are good, then things come into position by themselves. Because we're used very much to making things happen. In the West we have this. Make it happen, make it work, set your target, you know. We do to an extent. But also to realize the power of drama and work with that. Okay, Om Shanti. So we'll finish off with moment silence.